Tara Hart, Red River Farm Radio Network out of Grand Forks, North Dakota. We talk about those FFA members, but I think of a lot of our listeners here are probably those farmers and ranchers out there sitting in the tractor cab. And for them, you know, hearing all this is great, but it takes a while. And I think Spencer was hinting at it a little bit with his question, the adoption piece of it. So how does the ag industry, how do we approach adjusting to that 10-year gap that it takes for us to adjust to something that's happening right now? What advice would you have for those farmers?
I don't think it'll take long at all. It's economics. And if you look at you know, precision driving tractors or driverless tractors, these are technologies that are born from GPS with augmentation systems from NASA. Driverless tractors were created with a public-private partnership between John Deere and NASA. We call it a Space Act Agreement. And now farms all across the United States, I think 90% of America's farmland is now farmed with precision, you know, driven tractors. They're not doing it because it's fun or interesting. They're doing it because it drives down the costs and it increases yields. And it enables, you know, better farming and more, you know, economic productivity. So I think the economics will drive it. When we talk about using satellites in space to basically increase crop yields while reducing water use and preserving nitrates in the soil, we're talking about increasing the economic viability for all of our farmers. Now, right now, what NASA is doing with a number of missions is we are proving out that concept at a micro scale, basically for maybe 2,000 acres in the central California region or maybe a couple hundred acres in Nevada. So we're testing it out right now in a micro scale, but eventually, depending on what we learn, and we're learning some very important things, I think the future is very positive. We want to take it and apply it to every piece of land all across the United States and, in fact, all around the world, because this will increase crop yields. It will reduce water usage by 25% and preserve nitrates in the soil. I don't think it's going to get hard. It's going to be hard for people to adopt things that are in their economic interests. And I think at the end, when we are successful, this will be in the economic interest of all farmers. Remember, we're trying to get the infrared measurements, the heat measurements from the plants from space. That's one technology. We're trying to get evapotranspiration numbers for down to a quarter of an acre from space. That's another technology. We're trying to measure the gravity well and how gravity of the Earth changes. And the gravity of the Earth changes based on the movement of water and how much water is in the soil. So each of these technologies alone is transformational for agriculture. When you put them all together, it's really the synergies between all of them that are going to give farmers huge advantages. And farmers are going to want that. And it's going to be in their economic interest. That's why this FFA conference, this convention, is so important, because this is all about tech. And what NASA is doing is all about tech as well. And it's all applicable to ag. You bet.
Ron Hayes of Radio Oklahoma Network. Mr. Administrator, you talked obviously about the value back to agriculture. You think back to the mid-90s, we were just really starting to get our arms around that. So many generations since then. Where are we going to go with this GPS technology as far as how precise can we be?
Well, it's pretty amazing what's happening right now. So right now you've got GPS, which of course is an American program. Technology created by NASA, now operated by the Department of Defense, but the signal is available to the public and the entire world for free. As time goes on, what you're going to find is the Europeans have a program called Galileo, so they're going to have their own GPS constellation. Russia has a program called GLONASS, so they're going to have their own constellation. China has a program called Beidou. They're going to have their own constellation. Last I checked, the United Kingdom could have its own constellation. And there's other countries as well. So as you get more signals and they end up being interoperable, or you have terminals that are multi-band, they could collect signals from all different sources, you get even more precise measurements from space. You combine that with sensors on the ground. Some of the technologies that NASA has been, you know, advancing for self-driving tractors, for example, the precision is just going to get – it's going to be better than – as good as you could ever want it. So there's lots of good things that come from that. But it's also important to remember that GPS signal is necessary For banking transactions, which the timing signal from GPS is necessary for every banking transaction in the United States, it's necessary to regulate the flows of power on the power grid, that timing signal, and the flows of data on terrestrial wireless networks, your cell phones, for example. That GPS timing signal is all important. It is one of the reasons you see nations around the world launching direct ascent anti-satellite missiles and co-orbital anti-satellite capabilities. They want to have an ability to destroy space. And in fact, some of these nations are calling space the American Achilles heel. And they know it's an existential threat to our country. If they take out space, we're done. They know that. And so we have to make sure that we are defending it. So NASA does not get involved in national security and defense. We do exploration. We do discovery. We do science and technology. However, we have a keen interest in making sure that what we develop is protected. And others have an interest in making sure that it can be destroyed. And so this is it's a critical capability. It's why you hear the president talking about the Space Force all the time. That's something I advocated for strongly when I was in the House. And now that I'm at NASA, I still believe in it. It's not what NASA does, but NASA has an interest in seeing space be protected.
Can I ask you one?
You bet.
All right. So in the speech in there, you talked about how NASA can actually see the heat given off by plants in situations where water might not be as sufficient as other places.
Yeah.
When could we see that actually implemented to a mass scale to all farmers? That way we can give them a prediction. And could you explain a little bit more so that way I can get a quote?
Yeah, absolutely. So that mission is called EcoStress. It is a payload that we flew to the International Space Station on one of our resupply missions. Now, that payload is now attached to the outside of the space station, and it's looking at the Earth in the infrared spectrum. And by looking at the Earth in the infrared spectrum, you're measuring the heat coming off the Earth. Now, what we find with agriculture, with plants, is that when they get stressed out from not having enough water, their stomata close. So the basically how plants breathe, it starts shutting down. When that happens, the temperature of the plant goes up. And so from the International Space Station, we're looking at that, and we're seeing the data come back. And the data says, well, in this part of the planet right now, and it could be down to, you know, a square mile or less, these plants are feeling more stress than they would if they were properly irrigated. So then we can warn the farmers, hey, you need to irrigate here. But what we're doing right now on the International Space Station is we are proving the concept. Basically, it's a technology demonstrator. NASA is not in the business of launching an entire global constellation of satellites to help farmers. I mean, I wish we had the resources to do that, but that's not what we're in the business of doing. But what we can do is we can use these capabilities that are helping us understand how the Earth is changing, which is what we do. We have a huge mission to study the Earth. We can use what we learn studying the Earth, apply it to ag today. But more than anything, we can take the technology and we can license it. We can commercialize it. So if there's a tech company out there that wants to launch a constellation of maybe a couple dozen satellites so they can get very rapid revisit rates on plants, we can see at that point, farmers, it seems to me, they would want to subscribe to a service. And a private tech company with a constellation of infrared satellites in orbit, they can look at the Earth and say, your plants are stressed, you need to water, and they can help them maintain their capability. That's not what NASA does. It's not in our charter. But what we can do is we can prove the technology, prove the capability, license the technology, and then let the private sector run with it. And I would imagine that in the end, it would be beneficial to the farmers. And the other thing is, the goal here is not just EcoStress, but it's also Landsat, which is looking at the Earth and other parts of the spectrum. And, of course, GRACE, which is looking at basically the gravity well of the Earth and how the gravity of the Earth changes. And it changes based on water movement, water in the soil, water under the Earth, aquifers, other things. So basically collecting all of this data and then having a farmer in a field somewhere with a handheld device and look at his handheld device or her handheld device and say, hey, based on where I am right now, I have this data on what I need to do so that my crops can be as healthy as possible. And remember what we're trying to do. We're trying to increase crop yields, reduce water usage, and preserve nitrates in the soil. And if we can do that with all of these different technologies, that's a big win for ag, it's a big win for NASA, And we want to help all of the world. And basically, food security is big for all of the world. So that's what we're trying to achieve.